Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Okay, here we go again. The subject is witnessing. The text is 1 Peter 3:15. The three key ingredients are number one, courage, number two, preparation, and number three, courtesy. Those are the three keys to witnessing effectively according to 1 Peter 3:15. Now we're going to continue examining them in detail. The first one, courage, we already have, and the second one, preparation, we are working on at this time. But that's what we're talking about. How to be an effective witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have to have number one, courage, number two, preparation, and number three, courtesy. And here's what the text says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." When it comes to preparation, which is where we are now, what we've already looked at is there needs to be a constant desire, always be ready. There needs to be knowledgeable articulation to be able to give a defense, an apology, a reason, which is with an emphasis upon words and logic rather than emotion. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to master some contents that we can explain. And so we'll continue in that vein on this Wednesday, January 22. So thankful that you have joined us, and very, very grateful for those listeners whose financial gifts keep us teaching the Word of God on this station. All right, knowledgeable articulation. Give a defense, an apology, an explanation. Give a reason. Logos, the reason for the hope that is within you. Logos, the emphasis upon word, upon message, upon content, a rational account. We're not talking about persuading people emotionally. We're talking about explaining things logically. And that is not always understood. I'm surprised at how many people think that the essence of Christian witness is to stir people emotionally, when the Bible tells us consistently in so many different places, in so many different ways, that it's not. That the key is content. The gospel is a message that, first of all, must be understood before it can be believed. It is a message to be understood. And sometimes that takes a great deal of explanation, but that's what we are to do. That's our part. We cannot make people believe. We cannot persuade people to believe, really, now. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. But we can explain the message that they must believe if they are to be saved. And if we explain it clearly, then they are in a position to embrace the message with understanding when the Holy Spirit opens their hearts. So our job is to be explainers, gospel explainers. And that's what Peter is telling us when he tells us, always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope. Now, the implication here is that we need to have what I might call alert flexibility. We are to do this, to be able to give this explanation to everyone who asks. asks is an informal term. This is really not a courtroom situation. We talked about that in the previous broadcast. I think some people have mistaken what Peter is saying here when they think because of the word defense and what seems to be a little bit of an unusual situation here that he's talking about what we do when we are hauled into court. But as I pointed out when we talked about that previously, when Jesus talked about being hauled into court for your Christian faith, he told us not to prepare ahead of time what we're going to say. He said the Holy Spirit will give you what to say at that time. But Peter is talking about everyday situations when we are to prepare to give an explanation for the hope that lies within us. And sometimes people ask, to everyone who asks, which is, I say, an informal term, not a legal term or a courtroom term. It's an informal term and has to do more with informal conversation than formal situations. So when anyone or everyone asks, whether in public or private, it could be, it's not that it excludes public such settings or court settings, but it is just the idea that in the normal routine of life, as we go to work, as we go to shop, as we go to school, as we go to ball games, whatever it is we are going to, there are going to be occasions when people are going to ask questions that are an opening for the gospel. Be ready. Be ready. Because in a sense, it is true that Christians are on trial every day before the watching world. It is a trial, but not necessarily a trial in a courtroom with lawyers and a judge, but we are on trial because people are watching us, and they sometimes will ask questions, sometimes critical questions, sometimes hypocritical questions, sometimes they're trying to trip us up kind of questions, but many times those provide wonderful opportunities for the gospel. And sometimes what happens is when you are in a group setting and somebody asks one of these critical questions because they're trying to trip you up, make you look foolish, trying to embarrass you, you answer their question wisely. It may not have any impact upon them, but it may have an impact upon somebody else who's listening. They hear the question, they hear your answer, and their hearts have been prepared by the Holy Spirit to receive it. So there's all kinds of situations here, and the point is you need to be ready to explain the gospel. Can you do that? I know when I was growing up in the church that I was in, in the Christian school I was in, in the setting I was in, it was not uncommon to have people memorize what was called the Romans Road. And it was a series of verses. I can tell you exactly what they are. You start with Romans 3:23, sometimes with Romans 3:10, but the fact of sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Move on to Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. That's the penalty for sin. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. On to Romans 5:12. Which now I don't remember right off the bat, but I will look it up because I know that was the next one in the sequence. It's been a long time since I've been through the Romans Road, but Romans 5:12 was the next one. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. And then from that to Romans 10:9-10. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Now, those were the main verses in the Romans Road. Sometimes people would add others, but just four or five key verses that explain man's sin, explain God's judgment on sin, explain God's provision for sin in the person of Jesus Christ, and explain how we acquire that provision through faith. Now, I'm not a big fan of the Romans Road, but I want to tell you something. Better to have the Romans Road or something similar than to have nothing. The problem with the Romans Road is it often becomes sort of a mechanical approach, a one-size-fits-all gospel presentation, and that's not really the way life is. One size doesn't fit all. You see, this very text that Peter's giving us here seems to indicate that what we do is respond to the questions of people, and that's not always going to be the same. We're not taking a one-size-fits-all technique and, as it were, jamming it down the throats of everybody alike, which is what's happened so often with the Romans Road. But the beauty of the Romans Road, there is a positive side to it as well. The beauty of the Romans Road is at least it gives you something that you can always fall back on. And you can actually adopt it and adapt it to the very situation that Peter's talking about. It's not so much that you use the Romans Road approach and you go up to somebody and you ask them the question, if you died today, do you know that you'd be in heaven, whatever, and you be the instigator, you force the conversation, you steer the conversation, you run people down the Romans Road. So many times what happens here is it becomes virtually the same thing as a high-pressure salesman's technique, sales approach. The same way people sell vacuum cleaners or something else. They've got their questions all prepared. They've got the responses that they are anticipating, and they're already prepared for that. They got your objections already lined up, and they've got a certain way of doing it to try to get you to start saying yes and to sign on the dotted line and so forth. And we've all been there. We've all done that. We know how that works. And there is very little difference between that kind of sales approach and some people's approach to evangelism. And that's what I am objecting to. And that's not at all what Peter's suggesting. You can tell from the text that he's got something very different in mind. Again, I read it. 1 Peter 3:15, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear." This is not you buttonholing people and forcing them down a path that they really don't want to go, but maybe they will go because of the force of your personality, and maybe just to get rid of you. I've seen that happen a lot of times. People just say yes, 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 and even bow their head and pray the prayer just to get rid of this obnoxious person that won't take no for an answer, that won't let them go. This is the quickest way to get rid of them. That's not effective witnessing. That does more harm than good, really. But that's not what Peter's talking about. Peter's talking about you looking for opportunities and responding to the things other people say. Not you forcing the gospel upon people without any reason to do so, except that everybody's lost and needs the gospel, of course, but you respond to what other people say, and particularly the questions they ask, but you have to be prepared to explain the gospel. And when in responding to people's questions, you get the opportunity to do that, can you do it? Do you have a few key texts? Can you explain what the gospel is? Can you explain what the Bible says about man's sinful condition and about God's condemnation and about Christ's vicarious atonement upon the cross and about entering into salvation by trusting, by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have the text that will allow you to do that? That's what Peter is telling us to do. Until tomorrow, good day. May God give you his eternal peace.